All right, everybody, welcome back. Bio Bros, episode 13. 13? Yep, 13 it is, man. Been a while. So, today we're finishing out the series of common diseases. We hit up fish, we did plants, now we're on to reptiles, the big three things we mainly talk about here. So, same format as the past two, where we're going to do three each, and then kind of talk about general unhappiness, because that is the biggest disease. Been a recurring theme in here. So I'll start us off on this one, and we're going straight into metabolic bone disease, or MBD, that's what most people call it. And that is a lack of calcium and or vitamin D3, usually both of them. And that can be diagnosed by weakness, difficulty with movement, soft or deformed bones, and all that kind of stuff. They look bad. Animals look real bad when they have metabolic bone disease. And I was saying it's a lack of calcium or D3. So it can be caused by diet, but it's mainly caused by lack of ultraviolet lighting for species where that is 100% necessary. That's where you'll see it the most, because without that UV, they can't synthesize vitamin D3. And of course, they'll have a lack of it if you can't synthesize it at all. So that's where you'll mainly see it. Things like bearded dragons, especially, they get it all the time. But it can be caused by a bad diet entirely if you're not giving any sort of calcium. So this one is mainly treated by prevention. Once the symptoms really set in for real, you can't undo them. You can make it a little better. You can fix the softness of the bones, but if they're deformed, they're going to always be deformed. So by using proper lighting, diet, and necessary supplementation, if you need that, I don't necessarily say you need supplements, but some animals do, especially depending on your diet that you're feeding them. Make sure that all that stuff's in order, and MBD is something you don't need to look out for at all. So kind of a weird one. Once you realize it's there, it's near permanent. I have had some instances with this when I was really young, before I knew anything about how UV penetrates through different types of plastics. I had a Chinese water dragon get it, even though I was providing UV, because I was not actually providing UV. I thought it could go through that lid, and it could not. So, check on that one. That was a mistake I learned early on. And turtles too. Their shells will get funny. I have a couple rescued turtles where there's a clear distinction in their shells from before I had them and after I got them. Their shells look much better. And you'll see all this pyramiding and things in there from that.
The only thing I would add to that is that supplements, when it comes to, like, if you're breeding the animals and stuff, then they become very important. Like, if you're just keeping them as pet, they're not as important for some species, but, like, if you're breeding them, they become very, very important. Like, my Felsuma grandis and my Felsuma standing eye, I always have calcium in there for them, because they're producing those, or for the females, because they're producing the calcium-rich eggshells, so they're using a lot of calcium that they're not going to get from just their normal diet and dusted crickets and stuff. So I give them little trays of calcium to go in there, and they'll lick them on them and stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point to bring up too. Like, definitely, if you make sure that your animals are cared for, breeding takes a big toll on them. All right, so what was your first one, Alex?
So my first one's going to be mites, which is everyone's favorite. Basically, they're just parasites. They're external parasites. I've heard of them mostly getting on snakes. They can go on turtles and lizards and all other reptiles as well, but the main thing that I've seen be affected by them is snakes. Symptoms of it is they'll seem irritated, like they're like itchy almost, they'll be laying in the water all the time. Basically, they just seem uncomfortable. and constantly trying to rub on things or lay in the water bowl because the water bowl gives them relief and things like that. And also, mites can actually, they can, some species of the mites can affect humans as well. Can cause you to get rashes and things like that. The treatments for them, it's just spraying anti-parasitic medication, giving your things lukewarm baths, cleaning the enclosure for the reptile. Basically, if you have mites, you have to deconstruct the entire enclosure and put them almost strictly on paper and, like, basically the simplest things that you can either A, throw away, or B, just clean really easily. Because the mites will stay if you do not change the substrate. They burrow into the substrate and they reproduce in there and stuff too. So using those mite sprays, you can use some natural oils like cooking oil and things like that. You can also get predatory mites that eat the mites, or eat the parasitic mites. And prevention's basically is just making sure you wash your hands in between handling different reptiles, and regularly cleaning enclosures. If you get a new reptile, quarantining it correctly, so like quarantining on paper or reptiles or things like that, and then having simple stuff so you can actually spot these kinds of things. Because mites you can see. They're like I said, an external parasite, but you can also see them. They look kind of like fleas. So, yeah. Pretty easy to take care of, though.
Yeah, something I noticed about mites is they tend to show up with people who have far too many reptiles and far too small of an area. Like people who keep snake racks that are just packed full. They have 200 snakes in a small room. That's where I tend to see mites really take off and cause problems, because they can get all over very, very quickly. And if you miss one, you have 100 the next day. So that's when I see a lot of it. It's fairly easy to treat one animal for mites, but when you have a whole room packed full of them, that's a big one. Or like general dirtiness too. A lot of dirty, unclean creatures who do a lot of cross-contamination. Feel a lot of that. They're similar to maybe not quite thrips like from last week, but spider mites, maybe how they kind of get everywhere very quickly. Even though one individual isn't very bad, they are quite annoying and will cause you problems.
Yeah.
But that'll take me to my next one here, is internal parasites. So mites were external, these are internal, just like with fish. These are mainly in wild-caught animals, specifically the fresh imports. Nearly everything in the wild has parasites, but it's kind of okay out there. They deal with them better for some reason or another. When you get into captivity, all those stresses of being imported and diet changes and lack of not good parasites, but other organisms that'll help get rid of those parasites means the bad ones take off. So mainly those wild-caught fresh imports, that's where you really need to watch out for it. Not that they can't happen in other things. It definitely can, and they will. But that's where you're mainly going to want to look. Main symptoms are weight loss, anorexia, bloating, that kind of stuff. There's internal parasite is a really, really broad term. There's a ton of different kinds, lots of different symptoms of it. But you kind of know a little bit. And for those, you're going to treat with medications. Dewormers are a popular one. Lots of worms like to get into them. And just other anti-parasitic medications. Look into your specific symptoms a little bit, and you might be able to narrow it down to a type of parasite they have. And then you can get the better medication for that one. But yeah, mainly the wild-caught ones. It's fairly uncommon for captive-bred animals to get parasites. And if you're fairly clean, you're good. If you're not taking your animals outside and letting them just free roam around and eat whatever they want outside, which you definitely should not be doing, probably not going to get parasites.
Yeah, that's also, again, quarantining new animals. You'll hear this all the whole show, probably, is us talking about quarantine. Because if you quarantine new animals, it'll prevent a lot of things from spreading from the new animal to all of your current animals. So my second one I'm going to get into actually is respiratory tract infections, which these can be caused by a number of things. They can be caused by bacteria, viruses, fungal infections. They can also be caused by parasites, like tongue worms, lung worms, lung mites. Those can cause respiratory infections. Can also be environmental factors like too high or too low of humidity. Unclean enclosures that harbor any type of pathogens and stuff can also cause them. It can be the substrate, and if it's like too dusty and like they're constantly breathing in substrate and stuff, that can cause a respiratory infection. There's so many things that can cause respiratory infections. The list just goes on. Basically, if you have an idea of your reptile having respiratory infections, which some of the symptoms and signs being nasal discharge of any kind with reptiles, really, like clear yellow, green discharge from the nostrils, any of that, them having their mouths open all the times, like they can't breathe through their nose, which is not common for reptiles. If you can actually sometimes hear them wheezing and coughing and sneezing, them being lethargic, losing their appetite, loss of weight, swollen body, frothy discharge from the mouth, things like that. If you notice any of those, take your animal to the vet. The veterinarian will be able to do like a physical exam and testing and things like that to figure out what type of respiratory infection it could be and what the best treatment is going to be. This is not something you just decide on your own what you're going to treat with. This is, since there's so many different things that can cause it, take your animal to the vet. They will do testing and they will figure out what it is your animal needs, whether it be antibiotics, antiparasitic drugs, antifungal medication, or just like that you need to change the substrate or change the enclosure or raise its humidity or lower its humidity. They will tell you. And you just gotta, like I said, take it to the vet.
Yeah, I've seen these ones show up before. A lot of times where I see it, people don't necessarily realize this is where it comes from, is seasonal changes in your area. So they'll have their heat light on for a certain amount of time, or whatever it is, and it's just normal. It's on a timer, it's fine. But winter shows up, and now the house itself starts getting cold at night. So these temperatures are dropping down really low at night, and these tropical species can't necessarily handle it, and then they'll get a respiratory infection that way. So be sure to make sure that your tanks are solid temperatures all year round. Temperature fluctuations can definitely cause these respiratory infections. A lot of times they're not a huge deal. They're treatable and not a huge problem. It's more like the flu. Right, you're just not going to have a good week or two until you get some medicine in you. But still, yeah, with how many things cause it, and they get severe really quickly, vet is the place to go. Yeah, that's about it that I had to add on that one. They're hard to treat on your own without diagnosis.
The treatment itself's not super hard. It's just diagnosing is the hard part.
Yeah. But this next one is surprisingly common, but it's your fault. And I'll explain that thing. Injury/burn. I put the /burn on there, even though it is also an injury, because burns happen all the time. Probably the most common injury. And these are caused by improper husbandry. So things like heat rocks or sharp objects within the tank, or even accidents can happen. Recently, I nearly had an accident. Opened my bearded dragon's tank to go feed her. She comes jumping out. I caught her, but it was fine. There is a non-zero chance that she does that again and breaks her leg on the floor, because it's about a 3-foot drop. That's big when you're a little lizard like that. So it can happen for sure in accidents, but most of the time it's improper husbandry that causes these injuries and burns. Burns will be caused by heat rocks almost every time. Nearly every burn is caused by heat rock. Those emit heat from the rock itself that gets hot, and the animal sits on there, doesn't realize how hot it is, and then burns their whole belly and their hands. That's nasty. That's really, really hard to recover from. Heat rocks are no good. They just don't work quite as well. I have heard of undertank heaters or those heat mats. Heard of those malfunctioning and going wrong. So best practice is to toss those on a thermostat that just auto shuts them off when they hit too high of a temperature. They're starting to make some that have internal safeties in them and stuff too, which is very nice. But the treatments for these are, if it's small, just keep it clean and monitor, like you would do with yourself, right? If you cut yourself, you probably don't have to go to the hospital. Just keep it clean and make sure you're not getting an infection and you're good to go. But if it's big, just go straight to the vet. If it's a big one, they might have to do something. Like if you broke your arm, they put you in a cast. They do the same thing for your reptile. Or they might need some medication, right? If you're starting to get an infection in a cut, you probably need some antibiotics for that. But it's huge. It happens all the time. It happens in breeding, too. People breed animals together and one of them gets hurt. Just, it happens. So make sure that that's okay. Try to keep your tanks as safe as possible while still providing enrichment. That's kind of the balance you have to take. You want climbing areas, but you don't want them to fall.
Yeah. I would also add, so another big thing that I've seen a lot of lately with the burns, not only the heat rocks, but if you have an enclosure where the light is on the inside of the enclosure, always have a cage on it. I've seen stories lately on like Reddit threads and stuff where people are just like, is this safe? And there's snakes just like right up next to that open exposed bulb or wrapped around the bulb. And I'm just your snake's going to get burned.
Yeah, that's a good point to bring up. They'll coil around the light while it's off, like at night. And then when the light turns on, now, like a halogen bulb, I've messed with this with my heat gun before. A halogen heat light, which are some of the most common ones used, it's what I use, been using them forever. They'll get up to 400 degrees in like 5 seconds on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. So before that snake can even crawl off of it and like realize it's hot, the damage has been done. Definitely a good point on those cages. That was a good one I missed.
Yeah, because even if you don't think that they can reach it, trust me, they can, and they will.
They will find a way. It's, what's the law? Murphy's Law, maybe? The one, if it can happen, it will.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will. I've seen some craziness try to happen.
So yeah, just always have it. Always put a cage on them. Yeah. So I'm going to get into my last one. Which my last one is... this is probably the scariest of the three that I have. And when I say the scariest, I mean it's not a super common one. At least I know I've heard of people getting it, but it's like one of those ones that like people are like, oh, my collection got this, and you're like, that sucks.
Yeah.
Like it's horrible.
Yeah, this one's like a thrips, how it was on the plants episode, and we were like, thrips are every plant keeper's worst nightmare. This is every reptile's worst nightmare. I'd say these are worst nightmare.
Thrips.
Yeah.
And the reason I said that, so the last one, I'm just going to get into it, is crypto or crypto or cryptosporidiosis. I'm sure I'm rooting that. But it's a parasitic infection by a protozoan. In reptiles, and there's a couple different ones. There's ones that'll affect snakes only, there's ones that'll affect lizards, I think, only, there's ones that'll affect like turtles and tortoises only. Basically, there's some that'll affect specifically only them, and then there's some that'll affect all three of them. The reason that most people, this is like their end-all be-all most terrifying and would be worst disease to get is a couple of things. First, there's no cure. There's no cure. It's the only way you can find out about it is you have to send an animal's fecal matter off for testing, and it is a highly, highly infectious disease. And it's basically, if an animal tests positive for it, you could not get another animal at all until that animal passes away. Because the likelihood of you transferring crypto from that animal to the other one, even if you're keeping good practices of cleaning your hands between animals and cleaning utilities and everything, one slip up, that other animal now has crypto. And most of the time, crypto is deadly. Not all of the time, but most of the time, it is a deadly protozoa. It will eat away the animal until they die. And they just, like I said, there's no way to really, there's no like outward signs other than like there's diarrhea, dehydration, weight loss, vomiting, loss of appetite, lethargia. Those are really the only like symptoms that you like will see. And those don't normally come until it's way too late. Obviously, there's nothing you can do anyways, but once those symptoms are hitting, most of the time it's like, okay, this animal's about to die. I've heard of it just absolutely rampaging through a collection and killing almost every animal in a collection. It's just a terrifying and horrible parasite.
Yeah, it is no good. It's a bad one. Anything without a cure is terrible. And then it spreads so fast. You literally need to treat it like it's a lab if you want to keep anything secure. Like, true biosecurity needs to be in place if you're going to try to have other animals not get infected with it. Not a good time. It is not a good time. But it is pretty rare. Like, it really is. I don't know anybody personally who's had it. I just know of it, and it's worth talking about.
Yeah, no, I don't know anyone personally who's had it either, but I know, other than like a couple of YouTubers or something that I've seen, and it's gone through their entire collection. And it's one of those things, too, with, like Shaw was saying, it is possible to keep them separate, but morally, you just shouldn't keep in it two animals. You shouldn't keep getting animals or even keeping animals that test negative if you are going to keep animals for crypto.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty. But we're on to the very last one, which is just kind of closing points of general unhappiness. Same as the last two episodes, general unhappiness causes a lot of problems. Lack of proper temperatures will make your animal behave differently. Lack of proper feeding will make them behave differently and act differently. And usually that'll cause some sort of disease, right? Bad humidity will cause a respiratory infection. So usually, eventually one of the things we talked about will take place if you are not having proper conditions. But improper conditions are a big one. They will definitely let you know, especially temperature based. Reptiles are ectothermic or cold blooded. So if your temperatures are off, they will be acting different. If it's too cold, they won't move anymore. And then they'll end up getting a respiratory infection. So just watch that general unhappiness too. That's really one of the biggest things, is a dirty or improperly kept tank will result in less than ideal behavior.
Yeah.
All right, so any closing notes on that one, Alex?
Just basically, as long as you keep up on your husbandry, keep up on quarantining new animals and things like that. A lot of times, also, like I said, husbandry, so like keeping up on your lighting, your feeding, your supplements, all that kind of stuff. Most of the time, most of these diseases you will not run into. And it's just best practice and the safest for you and your animals to just keep up on those things and not have to deal with any of these diseases that we just talked about.
Yeah, that is definitely the best point. Reptile disease are probably the worst in general. If a reptile gets disease, usually it's a bad thing because reptiles are insanely tough creatures. But they're the least common. Like plants, they get stuff all the time, but they're easily curable. Fish are kind of in the middle. And these reptiles, usually it's pretty bad, but you don't get them very often at all. Like, I haven't dealt with nearly any of this stuff personally. I've seen it around and all that, but very rare I have issues.
But, yeah.
All right, we will catch you guys on the next one with some new topics this time. We're not going to keep doing the whole disease thing. We'll get on to something a little more lighthearted.
Definitely. All right. Thank y'all for listening. I hope y'all enjoyed. I hope y'all learned something, especially from the past three episodes. Learned about all the diseases and like how to treat them and things like that. If y'all enjoyed this, give us a like or a rating on Spotify, YouTube, wherever you're listening from. If you want to see our stuff, like pictures and things like that, follow us on Instagram or TikTok. I hope y'all are enjoying whenever you're listening to this, enjoying your day, night, morning, evening, whenever, and see y'all next week.